The topic for today, actually, I thought the pastor might start preaching my message this morning, which would be fine. That'd make me even more abbreviated this evening. So at least got our minds thinking that direction with a few of his points. I want to speak today a little bit about the subject of worship, but what I've entitled worthless worship. Worship could be defined as an expression of reverence or adoration for a deity, or the acts or rites that make up a formal expression of reverence for a deity. So it could be the heart attitude, it can also be the actual acts. We read much in the Bible about worship, primarily in the Old Testament. We read a lot about burnt offerings and drink offerings and feasts and things like that. And obviously we don't do those today still, hopefully not. But we have our acts of worship by which we worship God, we communicate with Him, we show Him praise and adoration and thanksgiving. It can be going to church, it can be reading your Bible in the morning, it can be hanging drywall, it can be lots of different things that are acts of worship, acts of service to God that we do today. So although many of the verses we read might be talking about sacrifices, the principle, I believe, carries through to our acts of worship today, what I want to look at here. And go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 15, because that's where we'll start. I believe it is possible, I said Pastor was kind of touching on some of these things this morning, that our worship of God, our acts of worship, and that's primarily what I'm speaking of tonight, our acts of worship, our acts of service to God, they don't always please God. They're not always profitable, as it were, in our spiritual life, because God is not pleased with them, God is not honored by them. And in fact, we're going to see tonight that sometimes God is downright repulsed by them. It's almost better we wouldn't even do them. I want us to see today that our worship must stem from a pure heart if it's going to be pleasing to God. This will be an abbreviated message. We'll not be exhaustive on the subject of worship, of course. The road I'm taking isn't necessarily going to evaluate the relationship between what's on the inside and how that manifests itself on the outside, because it is also true that what's on the heart is related to the outside. I'm not studying that aspect of the issue today. What I want to study today is the other side, that sometimes we're so comfortable as long as our outside looks good that we don't care about what's on the inside. And that's the direction I'm going today. So let's start in Proverbs chapter 15, but before we start reading, let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you so much for this day you've given us. Such lovely weather, Lord. Definitely thank you for that. It was so much fun just to kind of have a change of schedule, have some activities and fellowship that we don't always get to have on a Sunday. Thank you for that. Thank you for allowing it. Thank you for the visitors that you brought this morning. I just pray that the seeds of the gospel that are planted would bear fruit throughout this week. And Lord, I just pray that now you would turn our hearts to your word, and that you would speak to me this evening, and that what I'd say would be what you'd want me to say. I just pray these things in Jesus' name. I just want to look at a few simple principles along this theme of worthless worship. Is our worship worthless, or is it worthwhile? The first principle I want to look at this evening is that wickedness disconnects me from God. When Proverbs chapter 15, look at verse 8, says that the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. You have here two people both performing acts of worship to God. There's no indication that the act of worship itself is necessarily much different. There's no indication that from the outward appearance they both want to look the same. Like I might have been seeing two people come to church or sometime in the morning. They might both look the same. They might both appear sincere. The difference that's shown in this verse is the state of their heart. Although they both may appear sincere, authentic, God abhors one and delights in the other. And the difference is simple. One comes with a wicked heart, one comes with an upright heart. You say, well, that seems pretty straightforward. It is. Some of these things are just good reminders. If you skip down to verse 29 of Proverbs 15, it says that the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Well, is God literally farther away from some people than other people? Say, no, that's more figurative. Does he literally hear some people, not hear the others? So it's not actual, it's hearing. It's more the idea of, well, I heard you versus I acknowledged you. I actually paid you heed. We might say that God stands aloof from some people, Have you ever felt God was far from you when you prayed to him, perhaps? Probably most of us have been in a situation like that. And how often is it simply because there's something in my heart that is disconnecting me from God? But again, the difference shown here is the wicked heart versus the righteous heart. Both are coming to God in prayer. Both are attempting to communicate with God. Both are performing some sort of act of worship. God is close to one, not to the other. He hearkens to one. He does not hearken to the other. I will not take the time today, but if you go to the book of Haggai, one of the predominant themes in that book is that God is coming to the people of Israel and saying, you're bringing me all these sacrifices, you're doing all these rituals you're supposed to be doing, and yet, if you pay attention to your lives, you would pretty much notice that I'm not blessing you. He says, you're getting money, but taking it home in bags with holes, your crops aren't bringing in a harvest, things like that. And he says, why is that? It's not because you're not performing the sacrifice. It's not because you're not performing the act. It's because I sent you to build my temple and you haven't done it. So lack of obedience contaminates the sacrifices. And one of the main themes of that book is that evil contaminates good. When you mix dirty and clean, you come up with dirty. You don't come up with clean. And that's a fairly standard principle. We don't always apply it to our spiritual lives. Psalm 66, verse 18, a familiar verse says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It's not cannot, it's will not. The idea of regard is that I see it and let it stay. I observe it, I know it's there, and I leave it. I'm not going to do anything about it. You're okay with the fact that iniquity is there. So a very simple principle. Wickedness disconnects me from God. So if I'm performing my acts of worship, whatever that might be in my life, and there's sin in my heart, in my life, that I'm not taking care of, it's worthless worship. Second principle I want to see is that worship can actually be disgusting to God. It's not just that it's not profitable, God actually abhors it. Turn to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 27. Says that the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? Abomination is an abhorrence to God. Once again, is the sacrifice itself necessarily a bad sacrifice? Was it necessarily a different sacrifice than someone else might have brought? No, not necessarily. The difference is the wicked heart. Pious religious behavior doesn't impress God, doesn't please God when it comes from an insincere heart, a wicked heart, a disobedient heart. The behavior itself doesn't impress him, doesn't accomplish anything. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1. I'll find it here in a second. Isaiah chapter 1. Let's go down to verse 10. Says, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams, the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. Say, wait a minute. God is speaking to the people of Israel, right? You think, okay. Everything he's talking about here, he says, I don't like, I don't delight in. Those are all things he commanded them to do back in Leviticus. Those were the methods of worship that he told them to perform. Yet he's coming and saying, I don't delight in it. I've kind of thought of this. If I were a Jew in that time hearing a prophet saying this, what kind of mental struggle would be going on in my mind? Like, what do you mean God doesn't like my sacrifices? He's the one who told us to do it. Verse 12. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? They're probably thinking, you required it. We're doing what you told us to do. Verse 13, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Some of these feasts, he says, it's actually iniquity, the fact that you're going through with them. Verse 15, and when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. I just thought about that before. That picture. Hebrew is a very picturesque language. And the idea of God, me coming to pray to God, and God just turning away from me. He's like, I'm not going to listen to you. It's a very, to me, it's a very scary, a very sobering thought. Yea, when you will make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. I think if God were to say something similar to us today, obviously it wouldn't be bullocks and rams and sheep and feast. It'd be as if God came to me and said, Caleb, what's the meaning of your prayers to me every morning? Why do you read your Bible every day? I'm tired of seeing you come to church 3 times a week. I'm tired of hearing you, well, this wouldn't be me, but I'm tired of hearing you sing in the choir, playing the orchestra, playing the piano, playing offertories, working Bible clubs, doing outreach, knocking on doors, hanging flyers. It's as if God came to you and said, why are you doing all that? I'm tired of it. It's actually disgusting me. Your worship is worthless. And how shocking that would be. Like, I'm doing all these things for you, at least that's what I say. And why might God say this? Because God says, you're reading my word, but you aren't obeying it. You're serving in church, but it's out of pride or it's out of duty. You're not actually putting me first in your life. Your heart is far from me. So the actions, they all look right, but your heart is far from me. It's worthless worship. You see, that wickedness separates, disconnects us from God. And in fact, our worship can actually be an abomination to God, abhorrent to God. And then finally, I just want to think about a few thoughts of what then is more important than the actual acts of worship. What is actually more important than those things that we do that people see, whether it's coming to church, whether it's the different things that we've been talking about. What is more important to God? Well, you could look at those verses we've just read and get some obvious deductions from those, that the state of my heart is more important, whether it's wickedness versus upright. Is there ignored sin? That's obviously more important than what I'm doing on the outside. Now, if we keep going here in Isaiah, verse 16, God says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. He starts telling them, repent. It's like the obvious solution there. If you're living in sin and that's breaking the relationship, that's keeping your worship from being pleasing to me, repent. Ask for cleansing. You must actively put away the evil and actively learn to replace it with good. I thought it was interesting that he says in verse 17, learn to do well. It's not necessarily going to be just a magical snap your fingers and now I still ain't live, you know, got rid of all my sin and live a perfect life now, but I'm learning to do well. That's something that takes effort. That's something that's going to take time. Where do you learn to do well? Well, you learn to do well from the Bible. You learn to do well from godly examples around you. So repent. Ask for cleansing. Put away evil from you. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. It's a familiar verse. Sometimes I think we forget it. All we care about is our exterior, and yet our heart's far from God. Our heart isn't obeying God. And God says, I'd rather you obey than you do all that for me. You know, obedience is one of the most basic responsibilities of a son or of a servant, and we're both. And yet, so often, that's like one of the hardest things, like, just obey. It was Jesus who said, if you love me, then keep my commandments. It's like, it seems basic, yet sometimes we struggle with it so much, like, just obey. It seems simple. Psalm 51, verses 16 through 17, says, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Proverbs 21, verse 3, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Hosea 6, verse 6, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Some of these things we're seeing, he desires something of the heart, something of your relationship with him. It's more important than the outward acts of worship. It's interesting to kind of follow that theme through the Old Testament, things that God just specifically flat out states, I would rather you do this than give me sacrifices. Let's go to Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6, verse 6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? It sounds like he's talking about giving a lot, sacrificing a lot to God. Verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. I want to point out that I'm not in any way saying that the acts of worship, the acts of service, are pointless. Pastor Ogle pointed that out this morning. He's not saying, well, then stop doing the acts of service. Stop doing the acts of worship. That's not the point of the message. The point is, bring it with a pure heart. You think of Jesus talking to the Pharisees in Matthew 23, where he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of everything, basically, and have omitted the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, faith. Then he says, these ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. He doesn't say, well, you shouldn't have been doing those things. He just says, you concentrate so much on what everyone sees that you forgot the more important things of the heart. You should be doing both. So very simply today, I just want to ask you, how is your worship? Your acts of service? The things that you do all the time that people see, maybe that they don't see, is it worthless? Or is it profitable? Are you so concerned with the externals that as long as I have that good facade that everyone sees, I look like a good Christian, that you're kind of content with that, no matter what your heart's actually like? Are you trying to earn your way into favor with God? We know we don't earn our way to heaven with our works, but sometimes as a Christian, it's like we think, well, we earn our way into favor with God just by our outward acts. The heart's more important. Does your outward worship actually reflect the true state of your heart? Or is it just an act? Is God pleased with your worship? Or disgusted by it? When I studied this, it was actually frightening to me. I thought, you know, you could be in the ministry. You could preach a couple times a week. You can, get up every morning and read your Bible. You can go hanging flyers and do everything you're supposed to be doing, and you look so good on the outside, and yet, if you're not taking care of your heart, it's all worthless. I may as well not be doing that. As far as God is concerned, actually, I could be offensive to him by all that I'm doing. So think about that today. How is your worship? How is your heart? Let's not have worthless worship. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it convicts us. Lord, as I read these verses, as I study these principles, I'm convicted. I'm sobered by that, Lord. I just pray that each one here would examine his heart. Lord, I pray that our worship to you, those things that we do on the outward, would reflect a pure heart, would reflect pure motives, and a heart of love for you. I just pray that you'd apply these things to hearts as you would see fit tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.